You're now listening to the Destination Debbie Podcast. I present your host, Ray Garvin, the creator of Destination Debbie, and your go-to source for all things Debbie and college football.
Jay, what is going on, Big Dog? This is, we haven't done a show together in a while, man. And,
yes, sir.
I'm excited for this one. We are going to do a five round super flex tight end premium rookie mock draft. And this was just a crazy idea that we had driving home from work, that we are going to do this live with our patrons. So this is not some computer generated, mock draft exercise that's going on. Like, we actually have real people from the Destination Debbie Patreon, patreon.com/allgas, Dynasty, Debbie, Rookie Draft, NFL Draft, Degenerate Nuts, Sickos that are in this group talking football 24/7. So we're actually going to get some real picks, and we got this thing set up to where you'll be able to follow us on our draft board, see some of the comments that are popping off on the side from the patrons. But Jay, how you doing, man? What do you think about this exercise, man, right now?
This is the epitome of just freeloading. We're just going for it. We're doing a mock. We're going for it. We're getting these crazy patrons involved. So at this point, anything could happen, honestly.
Yeah, we had slight technical difficulties, but we're back in the building, and we are not going to delay because I have not given my sort of evaluation on these rookie class yet. So as we go through this exercise, we'll stop every couple of picks, every like six picks. We'll go through half a round, kind of talk about the selections, or maybe we'll finish a round, talk about the selections, and then go to the next round. So you ready to kick this mock off? I think the patrons are ready.
Yes, sir. I see the comments flooding in. Yeah. They're born ready, always.
They're ready. So we are going to kick off this. And once again, super flex, tight end premium. Let's say 1.5 tight end premium, super flex, rookie mock draft, five rounds, snake, let's be. And y'all only got 30 seconds to pick, so don't spend all damn day. Let's go. Let's get it, baby. 101 should be an easy selection here at 101. Let's see. And I know there's a stop posting.
They're already going crazy.
They're
Thank
already.
God.
And it looks like at the 101, are we going to have a timeout? Are we really about to have a time? No.
Okay. No. There we go.
All right.
There we go.
All right. Chalky off the board. Trevor Lawrence.
All right, BGC. Take my guy.
What are you doing at Justin Fields? Goes at the,
okay,
and remember,
Chalk.
This is a podcast, Jay. Okay. You went Trey Lance. All right.
Easy Chalk.
Easy Chalk. Let's see what our boy Adam does here at the 104. So 101, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields at the 102 spot. Trey Lance comes off the board. Jordan Richards takes him at 103. And we're down to 12 seconds. And it looks
are
like...
Are we going to see Kyle Pitts here? Kyle Pitts?
I'm going to pause it to give this guy time. He asked to be a part of this exercise, and he's not here. Where's Adam? Adam is ruining.
This is what happens when
exercise.
You rely on other people. This is what I told you.
That's why
we love the patrons, but
that's why I do a solo podcast. That is why I do a solo podcast, because I don't want to have to rely on other people who say they want to be a part of this exercise and don't show up. So we're about to have an auto draft here at the 104, but I do think that it's probably going to be the right selection. So let's resume the draft and give him another 30 seconds to go here. And all right, there he goes. Najee Harris at 104. My man Michael
Love
is up
it.
At the 105 spot. What are we doing? 105. Tight end premium, super flex, rookie mock draft. And Ja'Marr Chase comes off of the board. Chase is gone. ETN at the 106. Damn. Okay.
A tier
and
two
there
player.
There goes Kyle Pitts at 107. Let's see what we got at the one. And I'm picking 111. I'm picking 111 in this exercise. I like it hard, baby. I like, Devonta Smith, 108.
Bold. I like it. Bold.
Jalen Waddle, 109. Zach Wilson, 110. And now I'm good. Damn. Here. I'm good here.
You're feeling good?
I'm feeling good. I'm going to go ahead and take my RB 2-3 in the class. Let's go Javonte Williams at the 111. And we'll recap the first round after we get done. I was I'm a little interested. All right, pause draft. Boom. So for those of you not watching, first round, Superflex, tight end premium, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Najee Harris, Ja'Marr Chase, first five picks off the board. Jordan, how are you feeling about those first five picks, Superflex format, Chase and Harris after the three quarterbacks?
That is my top five. Right now I have Trey Lance, Justin Fields, basically neck and neck. I think if you want to choose between those two guys, more than welcome to take Lance at two, more than welcome to take Fields at two. But I do prefer to have Najee Harris and Chase at 4 or 5, even over Kyle Pitts in a 1.5 premium. I would really only consider it if we're talking about a 2-point premium, which we talk about a lot, the difference between a 2-point premium and a 1.5. This is a 1.5. So I'm still waiting on Kyle Pitts until 106, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I talked about this on the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Pod yesterday with Kyle Yates. I do think there's a conversation at 101. You know, I can see all three of these guys, depending on which league you're in, going at the top of the draft. I think Fields' landing spot in Chicago is outstanding. We know Trey Lance in San Francisco, and then Trevor Lawrence, we've known that he's going to be in damn Jacksonville for 2 years now. So however you want to slice those three, I think that's the right call. Najee Harris at 4, love it. Ja'Marr Chase at 5, can't argue it. You know, any thought to Zach Wilson here in the top five? I mean, super flex format, quarterbacks are extremely valuable. You're talking about the second overall pick in the draft. Any thought for you of taking Zach Wilson here inside the top five, man?
I don't think I would. Zach Wilson I have at 106 in my Superflex ranking. So he's right there. So if you want to make that decision, maybe you have a need at quarterback, I would consider going that direction. But as far as kind of in a vacuum, as far as how I feel about their talent, Najee Harris, RB1, Chase, the definitive wide receiver one for me, just ahead of Zach Wilson in my rankings right now.
All right, so let's talk about the middle part of this draft. We saw ETN at 106, Pitts 107, Devonta Smith 108, and then Jalen Waddle 109. ETN over Williams, ETN over Pitts, ETN over Wilson. How are you feeling about that pick in particular at Travis ETN at 106?
I feel okay about it. Not over Pitts. I think if you're talking about a premium, Pitts should be the guy there for sure. But I really don't hate it. I know you and I have had a lot of discussions about these running backs, about these back-end wide receivers. For me, Etienne, if you want him at 107, more than happy with that. Like I said, Wilson's my 106 guy as far as my rankings go. But I'm curious your thoughts on Wilson. We saw him go off the board at 110. Would you put him up there, or are you fully on board with Etienne at kind of 106, Pitts 107?
No, I would not have taken ETN here. I'm taking, and the thing is, I know this individual, and we've had this conversation in the Discord. In the premium, I mean, hell, even if it was just standard PPR, probably standard PPR, I'd take the running back. But 1.5 receptions for tight ends. I'm taking Kyle Pitts here right after Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's probably at least the third best non-quarterback position player in that draft that we saw, highest drafted tight end of all time. I'm taking him before Travis Etienne. You know, Zach Wilson, I think this was a steal to get him at 110, to be honest with you. I fully anticipated Devonta Smith falling to like 111. That's why I kind of strategically did that, because I thought I was going to be able to double up on Smith and maybe another player here in the second. Comes off a little earlier than I thought. I love Devonta Smith, but I'm probably taking the quarterback over Devonta Smith. Kind of pissed me off that I don't get him. And the fact that Javonte Williams falls to 111, my goodness. The worst pick in this draft to me, and I'll let you pick what you think. It's I think Waddle at 109 is a little too aggressive for me. I'm not taking Waddle over Javonte Williams or Zach Wilson, I don't believe. You know, it's hard to call the number 6 overall pick bad, like the worst pick, but I'm not taking Waddle at 109.
See, for me, I think the worst pick is probably still Etienne. It's just how I feel about him. I'm not the biggest fan of Etienne. I think there's a clear difference there, but I could totally see the case for Smith. I know that you love Smith, but I have seen Smith. You know, he's a guy who goes right about 112 in a lot of super flex leagues, sometimes even behind Mac Jones, who didn't go in the first round, which I fully endorse. Not everyone does. I don't even think you would necessarily endorse that, but I'm okay with the Waddle pick there. I think it's a little bit generous for his ADP, but I definitely still think he's worth close to that selection, maybe a little high, especially over Wilson. But I think if you want to take him over Javonte, I don't hate it.
All right, let's start round two. Let's get back to round two. And the chat, you're the worst pick. Gotta love him, man. Resume the draft. Let's get it popping at the 201. This is a snake draft. Again, Superflex tight end premium. Let's go. Let's see what comes off the board at 201. Still a lot of good players left on the draft board. And my man is thinking. And Rashad Bateman comes off the board, which leaves me with a very easy selection here. Boom, Mac Jones at the 202 spot. Money. Superflex, sign me up. Mac Jones at 202. Let's see what the Zach Wilson manager does here with his second round pick.
Get the stack, baby. Get the stack. You know you want to do
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, okay, okay. And she goes Trey Sermon.
The
okay.
Disappointment.
It's like watching porn and not finishing, man. Just waste of time. Wasting time. Terrace Marshall. Terrace Marshall comes off the board at 204.
I mean, had a nice debate about Terrace Marshall.
We had a nice debate about Terrace Marshall, and the Devonta Smith manager is here. The clock is ticking. He doesn't know what to do. He's panicking. Good selection.
Oh,
like
Lord
it.
Have
Amon
mercy.
St. Brown. I love
this
it.
This draft is just off the rails, man. Are you kidding me?
You don't like
what
it?
What are you guys doing to me? You're breaking my heart.
You don't like
You're breaking
it?
My heart. All everyone in here knows the problem with this draft right now, and they're willingly breaking my heart. But it's okay. When he comes off the board,
where's Tony at 206? No, we can't.
Guys,
make your damn
guys.
Pick. Let's see.
McNutted, I believe in you. I believe in you.
Is
I know you can
do it.
Get it
What's
done.
What's he going to do here at 207?
Get it done.
Tight end premium.
Oh.
Pat Freiermuth, good pick.
Oh,
I like
God.
It. Smart. Savvy.
Oh, my goodness.
Dynasty manager. Savvy. And Michael Carter at
208. Oh, my goodness.
This is.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going five rounds. It's going to be so gross at the beginning, at the end of this thing.
And there he goes.
Elijah Moore.
There he goes.
That's
after all that time.
That's what you were waiting for.
After
you were
all
waiting
this time.
For your guy. Now you're on the clock.
My
so
guy.
Don't,
I know.
Who are you taking at 210? Who are you taking at the 210?
If I got
spot?
No time to think, I think this is the guy I'm going for. This is my late second round target, Amari Rodgers. Big fan, like his game, obviously like his landing spot. So that's the guy I'd be targeting with those guys off the board right now.
Amari Rodgers at 210. All right, Snake, Justin Fields owner, manager had to wait a minute. Dyami Brown. And then the 101 is back on the clock. Nico, okay. Okay.
Oh, boy.
The draft has gone off the rails already. It has gone off the rails. So, the first mistake was not selecting Mac Jones.
Mac Jones.
I mean, quarterback, super flex, New England Patriots. I called it.
One first offense.
I listed it off on the Fantasy Pros show. I believe it was October 25th, 2020, 4:28 p.m. I said, Mac Jones is going to look great in a Patriots uniform. And I was laughed off of Twitter. And he lands in New England. And if there's any team that I trust to develop immobile statute quarterbacks. New England made Matt Castle a $50 million quarterback. He made Jimmy Garoppolo a $100 million quarterback. I mean, Mac Jones is way more talented than Matt Castle, and I think he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. So for me to get him at 202, I thought that was a fantastic spot. Trey Sermon at 203. At least it wasn't the first round, you know?
Yeah. Can't do it.
I'm probably not doing that. Terrace Marshall at 204. No argument. Amon-Ra at 205. Savvy. Love it.
Savvy?
Love it. Ooh. Absolutely love it. Amon-Ra St. Brown is competing with Khalif Raymond, Tom Kennedy, Quintez Cephas, Breshad Perriman, and Tyrell Williams. If Amon-Ra St. Brown can't lead that team in targets as a rookie, I'd be shocked. I am all over St. Brown. This is an aggressive draft choice that will pay off for Ja Moes. I love it, man. Kadarius Toney at 206. I don't hate it.
A little early.
I don't hate it. I've seen Kadarius Toney being taken in the third. I think that's insane. Don't hate it. Don't love it. Pat Freiermuth at 207. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. 55th overall pick. Pittsburgh, even if it doesn't happen this year, he's the tight end of the future. So to get this caliber of tight end, whereas in any other draft class, Pat Freiermuth would be the unquestioned number one. I thought this was a hell of a pick. Love Freiermuth here. Michael Carter at 208. Fine. I get it. I'm not taking him.
Could
over
be RB1. Could be RB1 in New York.
So.
He could be. I don't love it. It's better than Trey Sermon. Let's just be clear. Like, if you're getting that little bit of value, at least you're getting the value.
Mm.
But not over Elijah Moore. Not Elijah over pick Moore. What? 34 draft? Are you kidding me? You guys are taking a fourth round selection over pick 34 in the draft. Please, someone explain that to me. Please, someone explain that to me. You're saying you could lead the team in targets. That's fine. But
It's the running back thing, man. It's the running, you know, it's running back love, man. People love running backs. And, you know, the Jets were a spot that a running back needed to land in. And we got one in Michael Carter. So there you go. Michael Carter at 208, Elijah Moore at 209. You took Amari Rodgers at 210. Aggressive. Explain yourself.
Really? Have you seen him go in drafts much later? Like, it's a little aggressive based on what I've seen, but for me, that's about where I'm targeting him. Is I've seen him, I've drafted him at 212, I've drafted him at 3-2, so a little bit later, a couple picks. But if I'm in a spot here, I'm definitely not taking Dyami Brown over Amari Rodgers because I just like the spot better. Definitely not taking Nico Collins. I don't care if he's the number one in Houston. We don't even know who their quarterback
is right now. He's not the number one in Houston. People need to stop. Well, he's not.
People think he could be, you know, whatever, to each their own. My next target, you know, we'll see if he comes back with the next pick. But I want to know your thoughts, especially because we didn't even talk about him, is your boy. We didn't talk about your boy Rondell Moore going 112. That's one of the hardest draft spots for me right now is 112, 2-1, and 2-2. Right there, when you're talking about Rondell Moore, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, and Terrace Marshall in kind of that same tier, how do you feel about those guys and kind of how did you feel about how this draft kind of played out?
In my rankings, I got Moore at 13, so that essentially would be pick 201. And if it were Snake, it wouldn't matter. Whether I took him at 12, I would have took Mac Jones, Rondell Moore. That's what I would have done. I would have gone Rondell Moore, Mac Jones, Rondell Moore at the turn. I think he's either the 112, 201, at the worst 202 in super flex drafts. And in one quarterback drafts, he's a first rounder. So I'm fine with Rondell Moore at 112. Nico at 212 just seems
aggressive.
Aggressive.
Use your word, aggressive. Yeah,
let's get it popping. Round three. Let's go back to it. Let's go. Round three. It is dirty season now. We are in the filth of the 2021 rookie class, and we've got Hunter Long, tight end three off the board. Tight end.
Brandon's going to take my guy. I know it. He's going to take my guy. That.
There he goes. Good pick.
Damn. This is a spot I don't.
Hunter Long at 301, Kellen Mond at 302, Jay Rich.
Can we discuss this pick? Can we pause this and discuss it?
No, we've talked about it. Make your pick. You got 14 seconds. Stop filibustering. Make your fucking pick.
All right, fine. I'll go this route. I don't love it.
Wow.
I don't love it. Yeah, I don't love it. That's
Davis Mills. Yuck.
I don't love it. I don't
love
it.
You shouldn't. You should.
I don't.
Adam.
I don't.
You're up. I know this is, you know, I know this is a hard commitment to be a part of a show, to make the show run. And there he goes. There he goes. Kyle Trask at 304. So we saw three quarterbacks go off of the board. Superflex. Gotta play the format. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I don't love it. Don't
just
hate
like
it.
In the real NFL, man.
I mean, what do you do, man? I mean,
it's and this is the bind for me. This is the worst spot. This middle of the third is the spot I hate the most in rookie drafts right now. It's a spot I want to trade out of because there's guys I like, but not necessarily at these draft picks. So I'm curious how these guys navigate this, because in all the rookie mocks I've done, I just can't find a valuation I like for any of these guys. The drop off in talent is just too big.
Brevin Jordan. we've seen three more four more skill position players come off of the board since Kyle Trask. Dwayne Eskridge at 305, Chuba Hubbard at 306, Brevin Jordan 307, Gainwell 308, Tylan Wallace 309, and Ramondre Stevenson 310. And I am on the clock, and since I'm controlling the clock, I'm going to pause it. So I can look and see who I feel like taking, because that's what you do, man. That's what I can do when I'm running the show. Let me peruse around the old queue.
Yeah, here, there we go.
And see what we got popping while everybody else has to pick in 30 seconds. This is a tough spot because there's nobody left.
Talked about Ramondre as just like a late third target, because why not? Like, and that New England backfield is just terrible. So why can't he just be another guy who emerges from the pack, and the cost is so minimal, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want Elijah? Listen, yeah.
I want Elijah Mitchell. All right. Pause. Let's talk about this disgusting third round. Hunter Long, 301. I like it. I mean, I think this signals, if you're a Mike Gesicki truther, this probably does not bode well for Gesicki. I don't believe they picked up his fifth-year option. I don't believe. Drafting Hunter Long, when they did, I think he was a – what was Hunter Long? Second-round pick, third-round pick? I think he's going to be – I think he was a second-rounder. Shit,
I don't remember. Gesicki, I don't think, was a first-rounder.
Who,
Gesicki? He only had 4 years.
Yeah, Gesicki was a fourth rounder.
He wouldn't have a fifth-year option.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, they haven't extended him, so goodbye, Mike Gesicki, if he doesn't produce this year. Hello, Hunter Long. Kellen Mond, listen, we've discussed him in the Patreon. We've discussed him on film breakdowns. The tools and the talent are there. Kirk Cousins is signed through 2022, so essentially Mond doesn't have to play for 2 years. And that's the perfect situation for Kellen Mond. He doesn't need to step on the field this year. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, but, you know, after his contract wears off, they're going to move forward. And I think Kellen Mond is in a situation to show the Minnesota coaching staff that he could potentially be the QB of the future. So I love it at 302. Davis Mills.
Terrible pick. It was my pick, and it was a terrible pick. Because, like I mentioned, everyone even after this, I don't want any of them on my rosters. Davis Mills could maybe be the week one starter. Maybe, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in Houston, but it's probably still going to be Tyrod. So unless Davis Mills somehow beats him out, it's just not a great pick. But even when you look at next pick, 304, Kyle Trask, he's not playing until Brady retires. Brady may play till 45. He may play till 46. We don't know. So
both of those guys need to sit.
It's kind of a similar situation.
All three of those quarterbacks need to sit. And I think what you're hoping for is the moment they touch the field, like the moment Kyle Trask is announced the starter, whenever that is, the moment Kellen Mond is announced the starter for whenever that is, their value skyrockets. And at that point in time, if you don't believe in the talent, trade the asset, right? Dwayne Eskridge at 3-5. I like it. I mean, second round pick, tethered to a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's a speedster. Russ likes to throw the deep ball. A lot of people shit on Dwayne Eskridge. I don't hate it, especially in the third round. Give me that. Chuba Hubbard. Did I not call this, Jay Rich, for months? I was like, Chuba in Carolina is a perfect fit. Carolina needs a backup running back to Christian McCaffrey. Chuba Hubbard on his own with a healthy Christian McCaffrey will be worthless for you in fantasy. But if something were to happen to Christian McCaffrey, you've got one of the highest, if not the highest valued backup running back in football. And here at 3-6, love it. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Great selection. Brevin Jordan at 3-7. I know a lot of people are tripping because he was like tight end 50 off the board. All he's got to compete with is Jordan Akins. So make it happen, Brevin Jordan. Fucking make it happen. Kenny Gainwell, Tylan Wallace, Ramondre Stevenson, Elijah Mitchell, and Anthony Schwartz were off of the board next. To round out the third, anybody in there that you're really just like, and I love the Elijah Mitchell pre-draft, that running back room is extremely crowded. I know they don't have anybody signed after this season besides Mitchell and Trey Sermon, but any of these picks, I see a lot of people pumping up Tylan Wallace. I have want no nothing to do with Tylan Wallace.
Why?
Gainwell, if he can get through Boston Scott, sure.
Sixth round pick, right? How much do they really believe in the guy? That's the problem. I think Mitchell is the same, right? He's sixth round pick. I'm hoping he gets cut and he ends up somewhere else in Atlanta. You know, even in Miami, like a place where he could potentially find carries, right? I do like Mitchell. I do like Schwartz, but Schwartz is more of a scheme fit. He fits that offense really well. He's a deep ball guy that they just don't have. In best ball, sure, draft him with your last pick. But in fantasy, you know, he's going to be a boomer bust guy. He's going to boom on your bench. You're not really going to be able to start him. But I like the talent. If the opportunity presented itself, then maybe we see something.
All right, so we're kicking off the fourth. Tutu Atwell comes off of the board, and I'm up, and I have no clue what to do. I am in panic mode right now. Severe panic mode.
Oh, is he going to pause it?
No.
Is he going to pause it?
No.
Larry Roundtree.
Larry Roundtree at 402. Sneaky
spot. The next Joshua Kelly? Are you calling it?
Listen, man. Kelly looked stank last year. So, I mean, he looks so stank. I'm spitting on the screen. He looks stank. So, if Roundtree can come in and show any semblance of life, he's probably the RB2 there. Javion Hawkins at 403. Trey McKitty at 4-4. Tight end premium. Don't hate it. Oh, Chris Evans. I forgot. I fucking forgot. God damn it.
This guy's stealing my picks, man. 4-6. McNutt, what are you doing?
Ooh, Smith, Merced. That's your guy.
That's my dude, man.
That's your guy. Jamar Jefferson at 408. Tamarion Terry came off at 4-6. Woof. But I mean, it's the fourth round. It's the fourth.
I can't with him.
At this point, we're just talking about the players. I mean, we're just drafting now. We're just talking about the play. Khalil Herbert. Oh my God. Oh,
this is that's my guy, Daz Newsome. I know it's ugly. Fourth round gets ugly,
buddy. Oh, there goes that Dokes guy. All right, pause. Let's briefly. Austin Watkins, the best pick in this round. The best pick was Chris Evans, and my pick.
No,
Roundtree.
No, my two, no, those two no, picks no, were the best. No,
my
no,
pick
no, 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 no,
and Chris Evans.
No.
Larry Roundtree at 402 to be the backup to Austin Eckler and potentially the get carries right away.
The power back.
Well, that's what they need. And Chris Evans is going to be the backup running back and potentially get some pass catching work in Cincinnati. He will supplant Samaje Perine. Don't worry about that. Who do you Tutu Atwell? Here's my thing.
I don't hate it.
Listen, everyone's crapping on Tutu Atwell because the Rams.
He's 150.
They spent a second round pick on the dude, man. Listen, Matt Stafford, big arm, throw deep. You got a bunch of underneath receivers. In best ball, I think I want Tutu, man. I'm not out on Tutu Atwell. I mean, we can say what we want, but the NFL said he's a second. He was drafted before Terrace Marshall. He was drafted before Amon-Ra St. Brown. Multiple rounds. To get that player at 4-1, he's worth the shot, man. I think that was the best. That's probably the best pick in the draft. Best pick in this round is Tutu Atwell. I love the call. What are your thoughts on some of these guys here? Javion Hawkins, undrafted free agent. Tamarion Terry, undrafted free agent. Jamar Jefferson, damn near undrafted. This Dokes guy. What are your thoughts on this round?
So I'm totally with you on Tutu. I think getting a second round pick there is just great value. Like, you can't get a second round pick in the fourth round of a rookie draft very often. I would like to talk about Amir Smith-Marset because of his versatility, right? He's going to a Vikings offense that only has three playmakers, Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, and Justin Jefferson. We can talk about Irv Smith. You know, people like him. I'm iffy on it. We'll see what happens with Irv Smith.
I like Irv.
But Amir Smith-Marset, he's going to make an immediate impact in the return game. He can return punts, he can return kicks very, very well. He's great in the screen game. He's great underneath, and he can still go deep. So I just think he provides another weapon to that offense, and he should easily become that wide receiver three in Minnesota. Now, if you aren't familiar with the system, Minnesota's wide receiver three, not very productive, but I love a player that can walk into a system and be a wide receiver three. Daz Newsome, similar situation. Anthony Miller is the wide receiver three right now on Chicago. They just drafted Justin Fields, but there's already talks of Anthony Miller potentially being traded. So if Daz Newsome can step into that slot role and take it over as the wide receiver three, again, you may see some value, some production for a rookie in that Chicago Bears offense. Not great, but not terrible. You know, there's some value there.
All right, you ready to round this out so that we can just kind of talk about this? Let these guys get back to
the
evening.
I have no idea who I'm taking.
All right, I've got some picks teed up. So let's see. I'm pretty sure nobody knows what they're going to do right here. I've got some guys lined up that I'm excited.
I like that pick, though. That first pick was good.
Cornell Powell, 5'1", Kenny Bo. Those are two guys I had teed up. Powell, Kansas City, Yeboah, tight end, New York Jets. I like both of those picks here. Where are you going, Jay? 12 seconds. The pressure's on. Where are you going?
Noah Gray.
You're just reaching here at this point. You don't even know who that is.
Travis Kelce's backup.
Yeah, you have
Trust
no
me.
Clue who
he,
you have.
He's,
no, I'm
he's
not
what, 32? Samis Reyes. We can't talk about Samis Reyes, though. He's still...
I don't even know who that
he's
is.
He's Destination Debbie patron only right now.
Okay.
Don't talk about Samis Reyes.
I didn't even know who that was. Marquez Stevenson, 5'5". Seth Williams, 5'6". What a fall from grace. Remember all you analytics people who told me age-adjusted, he broke out early, he's going to be a top pick, gets picked in the fifth round.
Didn't work.
Did not work. Let's see what my man does. To have Kyle Pitts, if this were my rookie draft, I would hate it. Pitts, Tony, Brevin Jordan, Tamarion Terry. And
that's awful.
His time is up, and he gets stuck with Kylan Hill. All right, let's see. Simi Fehoko. I like it. I wasn't even thinking. Look, this is why you join the squad. The patrons know what's up. Who's this? P. Williams? Puka?
Puka.
Shai Smith. And, yeah, man.
You up.
I'm up. I'm going to take the quarterback who was drafted in the fourth round.
Nice.
I'm going to take the quarterback who was drafted in the fourth round. I took Ian Book. And let's see who Mr. Irrelevant is here. I'm going to guess it's going to be Jarrett Patterson. I think it's going to be Jarrett Patterson. Let's see who it is.
Jarrett Patterson would be fine.
Josh Imor Borta Horta. That's the rookie draft. So appreciate the patrons for dropping by. Jay, let's take a look at this board. So fifth round, love Cornell Powell, Kenny Yeboah. I think those are the two really good picks this round. Noah Gray at 5'3", Reyes 5'4", Marquez Stevenson, Buffalo Bills 5'5", Seth Williams, Kylan Hill, Simi, Puka, Shai, Ian, and Imohorta Bohorta. At the 5.
It's a BB, 12. Isn't it? Or a Bebe?
I think it's BB. I don't know. What are your thoughts about best pick in the fifth round? Give it to me. It's me, right?
No, it's not you. Come I would never on, get dude. Well, okay. You know what? To be fair to Ian Book is a lot better quarterback than we give him credit for. And if he's in the right system, we like the system in New Orleans. He is a fifth round rookie pick. If for some reason they say, Ian Book, we love you. We love what you did last year. You know the playbook. You can run the offense. You just go out there and you just win us some football games. That could actually happen in 2021. That is a legitimate possibility.
It's no possibility.
Sorry, in 2022.
No. You had it right. No. Ian Book's going to play this year. Somehow, some way.
Okay.
Ian Book is going to play.
No. Not
watch. Somehow, Taysom Hill is going to get hurt. Jameis is going to throw multiple picks, and Ian Book is going to find his way. I'm destined to be haunted because I've got some Ian Book takes out there about how terrible he was in college. But, you know.
He's a winner, though.
I want to say thank you to all the patrons that dropped by. Really appreciate you spending 40 minutes with us on this show. Jay, we're gonna talk about this a little bit, right? So we're gonna transition back. We're gonna transition back to the regular scene, and let's just talk about this. So, I mean, for me. And we're going to do a bunch of these. I mean, we're going to do these weekly. Hopefully we get new participants to get different kind of thoughts and opinions and flavors. But this was a tight end premium draft. And, you know, after like Pat Freiermuth, I'm fine with trading like everything. And he went 207 in this draft. Now, for me, I wouldn't have Kadarius Toney over Elijah Moore. But, I mean, I'd take him a couple picks later. I think he's still a second round pick. I want Toney over Amari Rodgers. I want Toney over De'Ami Brown and Nico Collins. You know, where are you at with, because Toney is such a polarizing player. You know, there was a point in time where everyone loved him, and then he started getting first round buzz, and then everybody just shit on him and hated him, which I think was completely unfair to Toney. Like, what didn't he do? He did what he needed to do in his final season. He was a quarterback coming out of high school, performs well during the season, performs well at the Senior Bowl. Where are you at with Toney? He's a really polarizing player right now. I don't hate him. Don't love the fit, but I don't hate it, man.
So I honestly think he's kind of just, if I can't get Elijah Moore, I'm probably going to go after Kadarius Toney, because I think that what they do is very similar. I think Elijah Moore is a better player. I think he can do more. But when you talk about a guy like Elijah Moore, who I target around 2-3 in Superflex drafts, if I can get Toney, you know, 2-8, 2-9, 2-10, that's kind of where I'm at. And I love the fit in New York. I think he can do what Sterling Shepard has done, but to a better degree. I think he's a better separator. He's faster. He's quicker. So it really just comes down to is, can he clean up the drops a little bit? They talk about how he's not the best when it comes to man coverage, but he's going to play the slot. So who really cares? The late breakout. I'm not really too concerned about it. I think a team willing to take him in the first round. Okay, perfect. That shows some faith in a player that they really like. And as well, Urban Meyer said himself, he wanted Toney at 25. So if there's two GMs that wanted Toney in the top 25, I can probably afford to take him in the first or second, well, maybe not the first round, but in the second round of my rookie draft, late second is kind of where I'm targeting him. And as far as to kind of go back to your cutoff point, for me, it's the end of the second. Like, I talk about taking Kellen Mond, you know, 3-1, 3-2, if that's where I'm at. But if I got to take him at 2-10, 2-12, like after Amari Rodgers, that's when I'm going after Kellen Mond. Like, that's my next target. I don't mind De'Ami Brown, but Kellen Mond's definitely my next target.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't mind those players, but somebody really wants them. And if somebody will trade me a 2022 first or a 2023 first for my 206, 207, 208, I'm doing that without even, like, no hesitation. Bye, it's gone. First class plane ticket out of here. Like, I'm making that move every time. One of the things that really surprised me, and I just, Mac Jones falling out of the first, like, that's not happening. Like, if it does, and you're sitting at 201, 202, and Mac Jones is there, don't even think about it. You press draft. First round quarterback, he's going to be. If New England could have pulled Cam Newton last year for any competent, you know, backup quarterback, they would have done it. The fact that Jared Stidham couldn't replace what we saw out of Cam Newton last year lets you know how bad the quarterback situation in New England was. He stinks. He is a walking trash can with arms. He is horrible. He has no business seeing the field. He will make millions of dollars being a clipboard holder for the rest of his career. Mac Jones at the back of the first round should be an auto smash. And if I really considered, until I saw Javonta Williams was still on the board, I was about to take him. I love Rondell Moore. I'm taking Mac Jones over Rondell Moore. I'm taking Mac Jones over Rashad Bateman. I'm taking Mac Jones, you know, before the second round. I think we got to get that shit out of our head now, man. I mean, he's going to be the quarterback for the next 4 to 5 years in New England.
I don't know. I you know, I've given you some pushback on that. I've given you, I just don't believe in the ceiling, right? Like, I know you think he can be a QB2. Like, that's great.
What does that mean? What are you
What? We know Mac Jones doesn't run already, right? And as well, he's probably playing on a run first offense. So what does his ceiling kind of look like as a quarterback? Because we're talking about fantasy. We're not talking about real life. If we're talking about a quarterback that can win games, we can talk about Mac Jones. But in New England, on a team that is very stout on defense, that doesn't score a lot of points. Is Mac Jones going to magically turn them into a legitimate offense that can score fantasy points over the long term? Like, do you actually believe that? Do you believe Bill Belichick is going to learn how to draft wide receivers? Like, do you legitimately believe that?
You guys, listen to me. Listen to me. This rationale from my man Jordan is exactly why league mates can be taken advantage of, because we're basing future outcome on a past shit situation. Was Tom Brady, and I'm not comparing Mac Jones to Tom Brady. You can go back to Jimmy Garoppolo. You can go back to Matt Castle. When you have a quarterback that can, Mac Jones, I think people get it twisted and think that he's some check down Charlie. He led the country in yards per pass attempt. He pushes the ball downfield. He holds five of Alabama's, the top 10 passing performances in the history of Alabama football. He holds five of those, five 400 plus yard games. He is not a check down Charlie. He pushes the ball downfield. This notion that he can he or will he be a top five dynasty quarterback? Probably not. But could he be quarterback 10, quarterback 11? We're drafting Joe Burrow, quarterback 9, 10 now.
Hold up. Can I just interrupt you? We know Joe Burrow's going to throw the ball 600 times. We know that. How many times is Mac Jones going to throw the ball? I'm not saying he can't throw the ball deep. I'm not saying he can't be an accurate passer. But the system he's currently in, you're saying he's not a check down Charlie, but that's how they built the offense previously. Maybe it will change. But we can't project for them to start airing it out in New England. We can't project that.
Why not?
Because for 20 years they haven't really done that, and they have the greatest quarterback of all time. Tom Brady threw it deep a little bit when he had the weapons.
You don't have to air it out to score fantasy points, man. You don't have to. You don't have to drop back and throw Patrick Mahomes bombs to throw fantasy points. If you're accurate in the red zone and you score touchdown points and you consistently throw the ball to your receivers more than you throw your ball to the other team, you're going to score points. And in today's NFL, there's a lot of offenses that design their passing attack to get the ball out quickly to their playmakers' hands and let them do damage after the catch. This is 1 year. 1 year. 1 year. So next year, if the New England Patriots draft Garrett Wilson or Treylon Burks, and now you've got two stud tight ends paired with a stud wide receiver and a young ascending quarterback, you will be kicking yourself because you're basing what he could become on his current situation now, and you can't do that. And this is not just to you, man. Stop doing that, folks. We're seeing that with people talking about Najee Harris. Najee Harris' landing spot. Pittsburgh's offensive line stinks. The quarterback stinks. Do you know how quickly situations change in the NFL? The Kansas City Chiefs literally went from February having one of the worst offensive lines in football to today in May having one of the best offensive lines in football because of free agency and what they were able to do in the draft. Stop having this short-sighted approach to, we only do that. And let me tell you, I'm just keeping it real. We only do that with players that we don't particularly care for, because you allow your imagination to go to the moon for Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence, all these players. But then when you think about a player that you're not, even Kellen Mond, we sit here and talk about his ceiling, what Kellen Mond's ceiling is. Kellen Mond couldn't sniff what Mac Jones did in the SEC. Wasn't even comparable as prospects. But yet you will allow your mind, and not just you, just people, to imagine what this player can be because he can run around. If you're going to do it for one, do it for all of them. And if you're going to do it for Kellen Mond and do it for Kyle Trask and do it for Ian Book, who we just took in the fifth round, then damn it, give Mac Jones respect and credit for what he did in college and imagine if he is an efficient thrower of the football that is not turning it over, that's delivering touchdown strikes, that has an improved pass catching core, his ceiling could be much higher than you're giving him credit for.
Yeah, and so my only issue with the examples you brought up, and I love the Kellen Mond comparison because Minnesota's offense isn't particularly prolific as an offense. What the problem is they have a few players that they use a lot, and that's why they're fantasy producers. But again, it's not my problem with Mac Jones. It's my problem with the New England system. Unless he's Tom Brady level efficient, level productive, is he going to be a fantasy quarterback that we actually want to start, even in super flex leagues? Like that's really my only question. You talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo got a contract, but we don't want to start him in fantasy. We just don't.
Jimmy Garoppolo, so, when he started, what was it, 4 or 5 games for Tom Brady, he was on fucking fire. Fire. And we were starting him with confidence and happily. When he took over for Tom Brady for those 4 or 5 games, we started Jimmy Garoppolo with full confidence. And because of those 4 to 5 games, we were drafting him damn early in Dynasty Superflex drafts the next season.
But should we have? This is the whole thing, is that we've already been proven that that was a bad idea. Even in San Francisco, where we actually like that system, we think it's a pretty good system for quarterbacks, he's still not worth anything. So it's not that I don't like Mac Jones, but if Mac Jones in San Francisco, I'd be like, yeah, you know, pass friendly system. They run the ball a lot. Like, I just think that when it comes down to it, New England may be a team that every year they're running for 20 or 30 touchdowns. And that doesn't lend itself to a quarterback throwing for 30 or 40 touchdowns. That's the only problem with Mac Jones, is I think he's going to be fine. I think he could win them 10 to 12 games a year, but is he going to be a great fantasy producer? That's really just where I stand.
Who would you rather have right
now?
Rather have right now, Jared Goff, Mac Jones.
I would probably rather have Mac Jones.
We know that most of us participate in 2QB or super flex leagues, right?
Yeah.
So if you're taking your high-end quarterback, it's pretty good to have some stability on the back end as your second quarterback option, right? Player that can go out there and get you 21, 22 a game, right?
Yeah.
Okay, take Mac Jones in the first round. All right, so let's talk about Trey Sermon real quick. Sermon going 203, we kind of talked about that. I think people are going to be let down, man. I'm telling you, it is like watching porn and not finishing. There's no point. There's no point. Like, I'm not taking Trey Sermon here over Terrace Marshall, over Amon-Ra St. Brown, over Pat Freiermuth, and maybe over Pat. If I'm taking Sermon, I'm taking him to trade him. I'm taking him to trade him. And I did draft him in my most recent rookie draft. I've only had one so far. I took him at like 206, and I flipped him immediately. Like, immediately, he was off my team the same day. I just think that people are looking at this landing spot and they're like, it's wheels up Trey Sermon, when I think it's wheels up Jeff Wilson. And how many times did we watch San Francisco last year and we started Jamichael Hasty and we started Raheem Mostert only for them to get to the goal line and Jeff Wilson gets 3 touchdowns, only for them to get in 2-minute drills and they put in some random Kyle Juszczyk is catching passes. Like, Shanahan's rotating backs, man. And they got like 5 of them now. So I don't know, bro.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And maybe we'll never see it. Maybe we will. Like, I have seen people say he's a good scheme fit. He could fit that offense really well. But for me, I'm willing to be wrong on that landing spot and definitely not willing to take him that high. 207, I've seen him go around there. I don't mind it. Like you mentioned, you took him there. But that early, there's just no way. All those wide receivers you mentioned, and even Pat, for me, I'm taking him behind all those guys.
Man, and real quick, back to Mac Jones. So one of the comments says they will build around Jones, especially because their division is becoming more offensively talented. I think that's a good point as well. You got to deal with Buffalo twice a year, Miami's improved situation. Who's the other team in the AFC East? Buffalo, Miami, New England, and...
The Jets.
And the Jets.
Who actually have a pretty decent offense.
I thought they had a hell of a draft. So they're going to have to score points. They're not going to be able to just line up in I formation and slam the ball up the middle like they did with Corey Dillon and win. And Jay, we're gonna get out of here. I don't feel like talking anymore. I want to do this again. Like, I want to redo this, but I have to. We had a glaring omission. And this is what happens when you don't have your list in front of you, when you don't have your rankings, Notion rankings, patreon.com/allgas, get those rankings when you don't have them up. We completely missed Josh Palmer and Des Fitzpatrick. They went undrafted. Ooh. That was egregious.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's bad. That's horrible for us. Both of those guys should have been somewhere.
Easy.
I'm thinking, for me, I'm fine taking Josh Palmer in the third, to be honest with you. I'd take Palmer over Davis Mills. I'd take him over Tylan Wallace. I want that. I mean, they picked him third round, day 2 draft capital. 6'4", 200 plus pounds, performed well at the Senior Bowl, speed guy, tethered to Justin Herbert, and you've got Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. That's really it. I mean, we saw Tyron Johnson and the other guy, Jalen Guyton, score massive points. I'm fine taking Palmer in the third if I can get him.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Same situation with McKitty, right? Like, there could be opportunity there. So that's why I love that tether to Justin Herbert. And it's just, yeah, I think you hit the right spot. Right around probably mid-third, late third, I'm totally fine with that pick.
All right, any other burning draft thoughts? I mean, I know the podcast airwaves are flowing with rookie mock takes, but I know y'all came here because y'all want the good shit, right? You want to know what Jay Rich and GQ have to say. So I think we'll do this every week, man. This worked out better than expected, right? Like, you were all nervous about this, and it was good, right?
No, it was good. I thank you so much, obviously, the patrons, man. They caused a stir. The chat was lit, as they say. Last thing is Sammys Reyes, man. Don't sleep on that perfect RAS score, a 10 out of 10 on the relative athletic score. He is the new tight end Washington football team. Now, they do have Logan Thomas. He is a developmental prospect. He's a former basketball player. He's 26 years old out of Chile. So what does that mean? It means you can pick him up off waivers after your rookie draft. So I would definitely do that. Don't sleep on his athleticism. And if you want to check him out, he was at the Florida Pro Day looking better than Kyle Pitts.
There it is, man. We'll be back later this week. Trade show, Black Box show will be back popping next week. And we're going to keep bringing y'all content all throughout the summer, all throughout the offseason. Y'all know what we do here at Destination Debbie. Get at us, get with us, follow Jordan, follow me, join the squad. We out of this thing. Peace.